Happy to be checking in with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang for an update on the latest council meeting, which is now in the month of April. Nina, how are you?
I'm good. It's been way too long since we've seen each other too, by the way. We went from seeing each other back to back to back to now once every 3 weeks. It's a little bit much.
I know. Well, you're back on a more regular schedule now.
Yes.
Or so, yeah. But it is, as I mentioned, a new month and a big item on the agenda, of course, was the public safety complex. But before we get to that, you're still doing COVID-19 heroes, right?
We are. So this past week, this past meeting, we were able to honor Judy Morris over at the Quincy Housing Authority. And I think you and I have spoken briefly about this, and we are actually in the second round now and doing second doses for the senior residents who live in the Quincy Housing Authority buildings. But James Marathis, the director of the Housing Authority, was actually able to partner with Stop and Shop to essentially secure over 1,000 vaccines for our seniors. And so Judy Morris is the person I've been working with over at the Housing Authority. She's been essentially running these clinics day in and day out. And it's been such an honor to work with her. But, you know, to just see her in action the last month and coordinating how residents are signing up, making sure that each of the forms are completed the way they need to be for Stop and Shop's requirements, making sure the forms are translated. She managed the staff to print off and deliver over 26,000 forms in multiple languages to all of the residents to their doors. She's just done a remarkable job. So it was really great to have her come in front of us the other night and just talk about not only that, but additional programming that they're continuing, you know, as we're going through this pandemic.
It's great. You know, and that's, of course, a lot of those folks are in the high risk category too. Are they generally, you know, receptive to getting the vaccine, would you say?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think, you know, the most interesting part for me to see Judy manage is that we do have a lot of residents too who, and you know, Joe, you and I too, I'm sure, find this happening where we get sometimes a lot of things in the mail and things get misplaced and they get lost. And so that's happening as well with some of the residents, right? Where maybe they missed a form or they missed a letter, but they're hearing the commotion and they come out and they say, well, I missed the form. What can I do to get a vaccine? And Judy jumps right in and makes sure that they get the form on site. Somebody helps them to fill it out if they need any help, and we get them in line to make sure they're getting vaccinated. So there is a lot of interest. You know, some nervousness the first time around with those who, you know, tend to get nervous with getting shots, as we all do, right? And so there's a little bit of that, but overall, folks are very, very eager, or were very eager the first time around to get the shots, and now we're kicking off the second round.
Yeah, I think that's just great, really, it is. And I know that going forward, in the future, Mr. Marathis is going to probably honor Judy in a special way too, which would be a well deserving. I don't know that all the housing authorities in the states, you know, are doing the same thing. So it's going to benefit certainly.
And they're running it for the other housing authorities as well that they're managing. You know, in Marshfield and whatnot. They don't just manage Quincy. I mean, Quincy alone is such a Herculean effort, but they're doing this every single day for the other housing authorities and other cities and towns that they manage as well. So it's just been remarkable seeing the team come together. They were able to secure free taxi rides for seniors going back and forth as well. So for example, there are some residents who, after the clinic is over, for whatever reason, life happens, something comes up, and they call and they say, well, I happened to miss the clinic over at, you know, Sawyer Towers where I live today. My goodness, what can I do? You know, I definitely want to get it. I've already signed up. Something came up and I missed it, but they don't have transportation. You know, they don't have reliable transportation. And so Judy was able to secure free taxi rides. And so now she can respond to that resident and say, don't worry about it. We'll make sure you're signed up at, let's say, O'Brien Towers tomorrow, where we're running the clinic tomorrow. Make sure you're coming down for that. I'll get you the cab ride. Just give me a buzz when you're ready and we'll get you in here and we'll get you right back to, you know, where you are at Sawyer. So she's been doing that throughout the entire clinic, as well as actually conducting the clinic too. So It's again, she has everything down to, you know, a really well-run program. And I think whether it's this clinic or other programming that needs to be done, you know, she's proven that she can do it very, very well. And so it just was, again, it was great to have her come before us and give us an opportunity to say thank you. She essentially vaccinated over 1,000 seniors in the city. So
it's
really remarkable what she's doing.
Yeah. Congratulations to her. That's great. Good work.
Yeah.
You also had a visit by the Norfolk County Sheriff.
Yep. So it was actually really nice because Sheriff McDermott's been sending volunteers to help actually conduct the senior clinics as well. So Judy's only one person, of course, and, you know, can't run between all of the different you know, residence apartments and all of that. So Sheriff McDermott actually has teams of volunteers coming from the sheriff's office to actually physically run the programming too between all the different floors. So it was actually really nice to have them both there in the same night for two different reasons. Judy was there for us to honor her. Sheriff McDermott was there to just go through some of the programming that he has really, you know, prioritized as the sheriff now. And so it's really neat to see because, you know, a lot of folks, I think, myself included, you know, don't know too much about what the sheriff's office does. And so to hear about some of the resources that he's prioritizing and making sure to emphasize to make available to all the cities and towns in Norfolk County was really interesting to hear about.
Absolutely. There were two parts to the meeting, right? The finance committee first, and then the full council meeting, both to deal with the public safety headquarters. So what happened?
Yes. So we met in finance committee. This was the second meeting that we had specifically for this appropriation request. So when it comes to the overall conversation about public safety headquarters, there have been multiple conversations. We had community input, but this meeting specifically was the second one for the $120 million request, appropriation request. And so the last time we met about this, Joe, you and I had spoken about how, you know, the proposal was pretty detailed when it came to specific items and the cost for those items. And a number of my colleagues and I had questions and concerns about, you know, and I keep saying this, but the $1,000 microwave, the $200 clock, you know, we talked about that last time. And those are just some of the items in here that I specifically had questions on. But then some folks also wanted to know some information about, you know, what's the specific square footage for the new building and where is that being appropriated to as far as the different, you know, departments that it's going to serve. Some folks had questions about, let me see here, the cost estimates, which I had questions about, like the labor contingencies and whatnot. And so this second meeting that we had in finance committee, were we actually able to get the, what was his name? Let me just find it here. I apologize for my notes. Peter Bradley, here it is. He's the project estimator. So he was able to come into the meeting that night and actually go through specifically where these estimates came from and give us some details about how they landed on that $120 million number. So it was a lot more informative than the first meeting, thank goodness. Really extensive, you know, hours long conversation on Monday night, you know, answering these questions for us, which was really helpful to get some more details about, again, the breakdown of how they got to this number.
Yeah. Were you satisfied with the discussion at the end? Did you feel they had your concerns answered?
Yes. I would have to say overall, yes, my questions and concerns were answered. I am still anxious and apprehensive about what the final number is going to look like. So essentially what happens is that when it comes to my understanding, anyways, when it comes to the estimation of this project, you know, the project estimator explained it that the estimation essentially allows them to go out to bid for the project, right? There are six different bids out there right now that they're working with to come to a final number. That final number is a range anywhere up to $120 million. Essentially, that's what they're looking at, right? On average, they say the difference between what they estimate on a project and what the final number comes in on is sometimes a range of the low end, about a 4% difference. On the high end, when they estimate really close, it could be a 0.5% difference, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the range we're looking at. It could be, you know, if we're 4% under, if the final number is 4% under what this $120 million estimation is, it's a $5 million savings, right? That would be wonderful. That's what I'm hoping will happen. You know, out of the six bids that are out there, I'm hoping we'll get one that's $5 million under, if not even more than that, right? If we can save even more than that for the final number, that's wonderful. The other thing that was discussed was, again, what's built into the quotes for each of those items. For example, the $1,000 microwave, the $200 clock, right? And my understanding of it, because of the way it was proposed in this packet for us, right, was there's the line item for microwave, how many do you want, and the cost of each. And that's all it explained. But then when they came in front of us the other night, they explained to us that final number, the cost per item, actually includes every aspect of obtaining that item and then installing that item, right? So whether it's the wiring, the shipping, and setting everything up, and the cost of actually bringing it here. So all of those pieces are what are built into the estimated cost for that item. That being said, that is another thing that is not 100% finalized yet. You know, it was explained to us that throughout the bonding process for the $120 million, it's not like, okay, it's approved today, So we're going to go out tomorrow and take out $120 million. And now all of a sudden the taxpayers have to pay it back. That's not how it's going to work. They can bond up to $120 million over the lifespan of the project. But again, as we're doing it piece by piece, we're taking, you know, essentially that bonding out piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at one point of the project, they might go for $10 million. And then at the next point, they might go for another $10 million, et cetera, et cetera. And the prices for things change as you go about that, right? Mm-hmm. 3 years from now, as they bond out another part of that project, we're going to continue to be able to look for competitive pricing, competitive rates, and continue to try to keep the cost down as much as possible. So to that extent, I'm, you know, satisfied with, you know, having the answers to that question and having a better understanding of the process itself, because to me, it shows me that, yes, while the request is at $120 million, we're all the different moving parts, you know, the project estimator, the administration, we're all looking at trying to keep the cost down as much as possible as we're, you know, building this project out. And my hope is that we will come within that 4% margin where at a minimum, we'll save $5 million out of the gate. And hopefully over the course of the project, as we're taking those funds out and we're bonding, hopefully over that time, we'll continue to see cost savings. But one of the requests that I had, and I'll be able to keep you posted this way, is that I want to make sure that the council is updated every time there is a bond request out for this project. So every time there's a next step where, you know, an additional bond needs to be taken out towards this project, towards that $120 million, we're going to get updates on that and get project updates as well, just so that we can continue to provide that information to our constituents as well. I mean, this is a huge project. I don't think any of us disagree on the necessity of this project. You know, I don't think any of us disagree that it's needed, right? It's for our first responders to better serve and respond to us, right, as the residents. And so we want to make sure that they have what they need, and we want to make sure that this building is going to outlast all of us. And, you know, I don't want to create this project and do this building and then have to pay an arm and a leg to upkeep it over the years, right? Then you're paying to put band-aids on things. So of course we want to build something that will be sustainable and that we don't have to keep patching over the years, right? At the end of the day though, we still need to make sure that we're being fiscally responsible, and that is a priority for us as counselors. And so again, it'll be really helpful to be able to get updates along the way to see where the project is. Are we on target, and are we still coming in below budget, and are we still realizing a cost savings? So I'm looking forward to seeing what those numbers are as the project moves forward.
What would happen to any kind of quote unquote leftover money, Nina? You know, if you don't have to bond the entire $120 million, if you only need $115 million, what happens to the $5
million? Well, so again, that's where the clarification was really helpful for me as well. We're not going to be bonding for it unless we need it. So okay. It's not like we're going out and saying, you know, for example, if you were going to go out and take a loan out for something, right? It's not like, okay, I'm going to take a loan out for $120 million. And then if I don't spend it, it just sits in my savings account and I'll have to pay it back anyways. We're not going to bond for that much, right? It's like if I told you, yes, Joe, you can bond for that much to buy this car. But then if you go and buy that car and the quote's for way less, you're not going to actually borrow any extra funding, right? You're going to borrow only what you need. And so again, that clarification point was really, really eye-opening and helpful for me on understanding that process, to know that that approval doesn't mean that tomorrow we're going to go and bond $120 million. And then to your point, if we didn't spend it, we'd still have to pay it back, right? That's not how the process works, which was, again, very informative to hear about on Monday night.
Yeah. So if, you know, when the project is completed, you've only spent or borrowed $115 million, then that is the end of that bond issue? Is that how that works?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. I know there was an effort to cut the cost of the roof of the building, something you supported. It didn't ultimately pass, but how do you feel about that?
Yeah, again, when I had looked at the information that was provided to us, you know, when the folks who were doing this project and estimating the cost of the project, they said generally what happens is that, again, there's that 4% margin, right? Where sometimes on the low end, quotes will come in 4% lower than what they estimated. And that's where I got the $5 million from, because 4% out of the $150 million. So the request to cut $1 million from the roof specifically, I supported it, because what we're doing with this is essentially not cutting only from the roof line item in this proposal. it was a request to just cut $100 million from the overall project request.
$1 million, right, not $100 million.
Correct. I'm sorry.
I think it was to cut $1.2
million. It was $1.2 million. Thank you. Yes. Yes, $1 million. So it's $1 million off of the bottom line of that $120 million.
Yep.
And again, that $1 million, if it was cut from the bottom line, could be taken from, yes, just the roof line item itself. And that was the intent. Mm-hmm. However, the way it was proposed, again, you could take that $1 million in different pieces from different line items, you know, to total out $1 million. And that I was okay with because, again, when the project estimators estimated the $120 million project, on average, sometimes on the low end, the bid will come in 4% under. So my thought process behind that was, if the overall project can come in $5 million under budget, well, now you have $1 million less to work with. So now it can come in $4 million under budget, right? So with that understanding, I felt comfortable with that. I felt like we had enough of a buffer where if we cut $1 million, you still have $4 million of wiggle room to play with. And that's more than enough, I believe, for them to go out and make sure that they were being really conservative with our cost estimates. And so, again, you're right. Unfortunately, it did not pass. But I do still have faith that based off of the conversation we had with the estimators and with Eric Mason over the finance department, that we will be coming under budget with this project. I shouldn't jinx it, but I do have confidence that we'll be coming in under budget with this project.
Okay. What's the next step now with this?
So next is, again, there are six folks who they're currently working with that it's out to bid on. And we're hoping, we're being told that by probably May, early June, we'll know who it is that's going to be doing the project. And then from there, we'll have a better understanding of a timeline on what's next after that. But right now they need to make sure to secure the person who, or the company who will be doing the project.
All right. Well, we look forward to the updates as the project goes forward. Another big request from the administration, $100 million for roads and infrastructure. And then on top of that, at least another $50 million for water and sewer and stormwater management. So there's a lot before the council right now.
A lot. And then we're coming into budget season as well. So it's going to be a very busy spring. But, you know, again, this is, I think this is a conversation you and I have had a couple of times as well, right? With the request that the mayor brings before us. More often than not, I don't disagree with what he's looking to do. I think that I go out and I am not a fan of the construction and not a fan of the roads and, you know, being torn up and the detours and all of that. But I am a fan of, you know, really smooth roads that don't have potholes that eat my tires. I'm a fan of beautiful wide sidewalks where people are able to walk safely, you know, on main roads and on side roads. And, you know, I am a fan of going through these neighborhoods and seeing, you know, brand new planted trees on, again, beautiful new curb cuts on the sidewalks and seeing new bike lanes. And so the end product are things that I'm always supportive of. It's the funding that comes in and when it comes in and what our financial capacity is that, you know, that I have an eye towards. And so, yes, you know, do we want to approve funding so that, you know, the folks over the DPW and you know, the folks who are doing the road repair can go out and fix your roads? Absolutely. I want that to happen. But again, it's there, you know, in total, they're all really large spending requests and having an eye towards fiscal responsibility. We just need to make sure that, you know, at this time we have a full understanding of what the impact looks like to the taxpayers. And, you know, again, this is coming in right with budget season coming in as well. And that's always a time where, you know, all of us are very diligent about reviewing the budget and the spending and the impact that has on the taxpayers when the rate gets set in the fall, right? It all has a ripple effect. And so do we want your streets fixed? Yes. Do we want you to have beautiful new sidewalks and gorgeous trees on your sidewalks? Absolutely. We just need to make sure, again, that the spending piece of it makes sense. So that's what we'll be doing is reviewing these items in finance committee again as well. And I'll be able to update you on that once we have those meetings. We're not going to be meeting prior to the next council meeting on that. Generally, what we do is we have those committee meetings prior to the regularly scheduled council meeting. So you mm-hmm. and I can discuss it, you know, both of those things at the same time. But the finance committee chair, Mr. Dave Mahoney, he's going to be scheduling that committee meeting for later on in April after the Patriots Day week. And so that's when we can discuss a little bit more about that once we get into that.
Okay, great. And I think that was it for this week. Was there anything else that you thought was of note?
No. Oh, actually, what was really neat, and Councilor Harris had mentioned this, is that there is a Dr. Fred Califf who works for the team at NASA that maps out different areas of Mars. And because of that, he named these craters, these sites on Mars, after Quincy and Squantum. So if you look and you look at the sites and the names on Mars, there's two sites, one named Quincy and one, he's from Quincy. He's a Quincy High graduate, I think of 1987. And so Counselor Harris brought that information to us at the meeting to let us know that Dr. Califf will actually be speaking at the South Shore Science Festival on April 24th. It's going to be a virtual event again this year. It's their 7th annual event. And it's going to start at 10 a.m. on that Saturday. Folks can find the information on Facebook or even Google really easily if they just do, you know, South Shore Science Festival in Quincy. So yeah, he'll be actually coming and speaking to the event and the people attending the event. And so I encourage people to attend if they want. But that was really neat when you know, he shared that information. I didn't realize that we have, you know, our hometown named somewhere on Mars. So it's pretty cool. People should check it out.
Oh, okay. So Quincy is now officially out of this world.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I know also, Nina, there is a rally in Quincy Center this coming Saturday being put on by Quincy Asian Resources, Quincy for Transformative Change, some of the other groups to speak out against anti-Asian racism violence. Is that something that you'll be participating in?
Yeah, to my knowledge, there are two separate rallies happening. I believe one at 11, I think one at 1 o'clock. I'm not That's 100% correct. Sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, I have work this weekend, so I won't be able to attend, but I hope that people can, if they can make it. I hope that they're safe and that they listen. You know, from what I'm hearing from different folks, there's a really good group of people who will be speaking and sharing their stories and experiences. And some of the names I know very intimately and very well, and I respect them very much. And so, you know, again, for those who can attend and feel safe attending, I encourage them to do so and to just engage with your neighbors, right? Socially and safely, you know, with the pandemic, but of course, just being around others and being able to connect with your residents, connect with your neighbors, I think is a great opportunity to do so. So yeah, unfortunately I have work, so I won't be able to be there. But yeah, for those who can, I hope they do.
Yeah, and I know we're still waiting to hear from the mayor's office on the mayoral commission to look into the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Have you heard anything more about that?
I have not. So I'm just as eager as you are to find out more about it.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again after the next council meeting.
Sounds good. That'll be next week, so I'll be able to see you back to back this time and get back into that rhythm a little bit more. You
know? Okay, look forward to it. Thanks again, Nina.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.